back to Ukraine now with Russia and China in apparent agreement on how to deal with the uprising in Ukraine, both adamantly opposed to Western intervention in this instance in the Crimea dispute and opposed to Western meddling in their internal affairs as a matter of principle. Are we seeing a new and fundamental divide between East and West right now? A divide that a billion-dollar loan offer from Secretary of State John Kerry can't even begin to bridge. Republican Senator John McCain blasted the U.S. administration even before the offer yesterday as being unprepared for this crisis.
This is a blatant act on the part of Vladimir Putin and one that must be unacceptable to the world community. It cannot stand.
Senator John McCain invoking principle there, speaking to AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, the powerful lobby that apparently harbors few concerns about the alleged anti-Semitic nature of the new regime in Kiev, allegations we heard at the top of this program from Dmitry Babich in Moscow. So what about this idea of a 21st century bipolar world? We call on Jonathan Fenby, China director of the research company Trusted Sources. His new book is called Will China Dominate the 21st Century? Jonathan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Also with us is Timothy Snyder, professor of history at Yale University, author of Bloodlands, Europe Between Hitler and Stalin. Professor Snyder, welcome.
Glad to talk to you.
So, Jonathan Fenby, China's involvement here in Ukraine, it's way over $1 billion, and it in some ways informs the Chinese reaction to this crisis. How do you see it?
Well, I think China's reaction is quite complicated in this. I mean, first of all, China had built up some quite strong economic links with the Ukraine under the previous regime there. It buys weapons from Ukraine, and it made big investments in farmland, which Ukraine's got a lot of, and China needs the wheat and needs the grain and needs the food from there. And they had the former president of Ukraine on a red carpet trip to Beijing a few months ago, so they were quite invested in the old regime, and that makes their present position difficult. We don't know quite what those economic links are going to be. But then on top of that, China hates the idea of any country intervening in the internal affairs of another country, and that is partly self-defensive. And of course, in this case, it's interesting. It doesn't, I don't think, see Vladimir Putin as intervening, but it sees the West as meddling in a way that it shouldn't do and China doesn't want to do. But at the same time, it probably is a bit leery of throwing all its weight behind Moscow at this point, because there are differences between Moscow and Beijing.
A real dilemma. But Timothy Snyder, I'm wondering if we could expand on that. China and Russia have survival reasons, internal survival reasons, for suppressing ethnic minorities and various groups inside their country to maintain their prosperity. In the case of Russia, because of oil. In the case of China, because of its rapidly expanding industrial sector. That's very different from the West. Are you seeing a fundamental division between East and West here, where Russia and China have their own views on how to deal with internal conflicts, and the West is spouting all of these John McCain-esque principles?
I think the leadership in Russia now has finally clarified its own new anti-Western ideology, and I think that has a great deal to do with why it is invading Ukraine. Putin, after a long time thinking, has decided that he is going to be the defender of right-wing, socially conservative values. That means the oppression of sexual and ethnic minorities. It means the definition of Russia as a cradle of a kind of special civilization. Now, this is related to the general conflict because, as you say, both the Americans and the Europeans tend to make their arguments in terms of principles, whether those are principles of human rights or principles of national sovereignty, whereas Putin seems to have shifted to a different kind of argumentation altogether, where he regards those things as empty facades, and the only things that truly matter are the deep, immutable, and in a way, undescribable values of Russian culture. I have to comment in this connection on the way you closed the introduction with the anti-Semitism, because this is very important. Its attempt to claim that the current Ukrainian government is anti-Semitic is outrageous. The Ukrainian prime minister is Jewish. The governors of eastern regions are Jewish. Jews took part in the protests and the revolution which overturned the past government, in the past, Ukrainian regime used anti-Semitism against the protesters because some of them were Jewish. That claim is an attempt to put the entire debate on the wrong track. It doesn't reflect reality at all. All it reflects is Kremlin propaganda.
Well, trying to see the reality here from all of the propaganda on all sides here, and we heard from a Ukrainian American who was also outraged by the anti-Semitic charges of our Russian speaker at the top of the program. Jonathan Fenby, do the Russians and the Chinese have a pragmatic interest in maintaining their control over these ethnic minorities within their countries? And does that alone divide them from the West?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in China, you've got two huge territories in the west of China, Tibet and Xinjiang. And the populations, the original populations of those two territories, are not Han Chinese at all. They're Tibetan or Uyghur Muslims. And China has, it's an article of faith in China that those two territories are part of China. They are essential to Chinese unity. And we've had confrontations, clashes in Tibet. More than 100 Buddhist monks and nuns have burnt themselves to death since 2009, and around the world there's been hardly a murmur of attention to that at all. And in Xinjiang, we have repeated clashes, maybe 200 a year there. And of course, just last weekend, a group of people in black uniform went on a rampage with swords and machetes at a railway station in southwest China, and officials there have linked that with what the Chinese say are separatist, fundamentalist, al-Qaeda-linked terrorists from Xinjiang. So this is a very, very important issue for the Chinese.
For both of you on the way out here, then, I'm wondering if the West, and particularly the United States, you know, have they climbed into a bit of a conundrum here in that the situation in Iraq and Afghanistan, as seen by the leadership in China and Russia, makes it very difficult for the U.S. to stand on principle on questions of non-intervention. So we're seeing in this Ukraine crisis a consequence of the invasion of Iraq on some level. Timothy Snyder and then Jonathan Fenby.
Look, I opposed the war in Iraq from the very beginning, and it was wrong for all of the reasons that I opposed it then.
But is it harder for the U.S. to stand on that precise principle because of the problems?
No, it's not any harder because Putin is totally indifferent to the principle anyway. The principle means absolutely nothing to him. Nevertheless, it's a principle which I think we are right to try to support. Whatever instruments work on Mr. Putin, they're not going to be about insisting on principles. Of that, we can be pretty sure.
Jonathan Fenby, can Putin exploit a sense of U.S. and Western hypocrisy on these questions of principle post-Iraq, post-Afghanistan?
Well, he'll try to do so, and that particularly, I think, in Europe. And, of course, a lot depends here on the reaction of the Europeans and particularly of Germany. And you have latent anti-Americanism, certainly in Europe, which can be whipped up without a great deal of difficulty. And as for China, the truth is that Chinese foreign policy is all over the place, and this leaves it somewhat dangling in limbo here, and I think pretty uncertain what to do over Ukraine and whatever may come out of that between Russia, the U.S., and the European Union.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for a fascinating discussion here at the end of our hour. Jonathan Fenby is China director of the research company Trusted Sources. His new book, Will China Dominate the 21st Century? Speaking to us from London. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you.
And our gratitude to Timothy Snyder, professor of history at Yale University, author of Bloodlands, Europe Between Hitler and Stalin, speaking to us from Vienna, Austria. Professor Timothy Snyder, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Join the conversation. What principles do you think are at stake in this crisis in Ukraine? And talk about your house. Is it a burden or an asset? My house is a burden, writes one of you from the Bronx. It prevents me from taking a new job out of state. Join the conversation at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Reputation.com, with tools to help businesses and professionals monitor and manage online reviews. Now offering a review kiosk to help customers create reviews. Learn more at Reputation.com. The Henry Luce Foundation, for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. And the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.